Now, today's message, obviously, this is Easter today. And last week I was talking a little bit how Easter relates to the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Has anybody ever celebrated that before? Does anybody know that? Yeah, some of you have celebrated that before? There's a few of you. But has anybody heard about that that hasn't celebrated? Has anybody heard about that day? Yeah, some of you guys? Okay. And I was talking about a tale of two goats last week. And this week I want to talk a little bit about how Easter, and I was talking about how the Day of Atonement is directly related to Easter, because it was a foretelling of the things that were going to come in the future. And that's what Easter was. It was the fulfillment of that Day of Atonement, because what they did in the Jewish tradition, every year they would have to remember, and they still remember every year, the mistakes that they made, and they kind of have this day where it's actually a cleansing of the sanctuary on the Day of Atonement, where they cleanse out all the sins of the people that have gone in there. They get cleansed out, and then they're put into this second goat that's not sacrificed, and he's sent out into the wilderness. And once he goes out, he takes all of that stuff out of the midst of the people. And that's the same role that Jesus is doing for us. This is what I was talking about last week, is that Jesus took all that stuff upon himself. You know, when you think about him on the cross, what he's doing there is he is taking and receiving everything from you, every mistake, every shortcoming, all they call sins and iniquities in the scripture, all of that stuff, he takes it upon himself. In other words, he takes it from you. And there's a trading places moment that happens. Because at that moment, he was righteous, meaning he had not made any mistakes. He had fulfilled the law completely and totally. But now at that moment, he takes our mistakes upon him in order that now we can take his righteousness upon us. So in that trading places moment, it allows us to get to a place where God needs us to be. Now, what is the will of God? What was God's plan? We have to start looking at that. What was God's plan from the very beginning? He wanted to reconcile with us. He wanted to have the relationship with us, as I've already been mentioning to you. God wants us to have a relationship with him. The problem is, we can't have a relationship with him because he's in a state of perfection. He is glowing so brightly. He is just, you know, radiant, and he is in the spirit. He is like a soul and a spirit, but he didn't have a body because he's in that spirit and that soul. And as a result of that, because we are filled with all these things that are weighing us down, we could not come into his presence. And the reason is it'd be the same as if we tried to approach the sun. If you get too close to the sun, what's going to happen? You're going to get burned. You're going to get burned. And it's not that the sun is trying to hurt us. It doesn't want to burn us, right? It's not like it's out to get us. The sun is not out to get you, right? It's just that's what it does. That's the way it is. That's its characteristic. It's the same thing with God. It's just the way God is. He's so brilliant. He's just love in its purity and its entirety. And if we ever tried to approach him, we'd get burned. You know? And so God had to change us. And he had to bring us back to our original state, a state of purity. Now, I don't know if you've ever gone to a restaurant and ordered water, you know, just had a little bit of water come before your dinner. Has anybody ever done that? I don't know what you would do with, thank you, Bob. And I don't know what you'd do if you if the glass came and the water looked a little bit yellow and you could see there was sediment floating in the water. You know, I don't know. In L.A., you'd probably end up paying more for that. Because that's called organic, and you'd pay extra. You know, but anywhere else besides L.A., you would probably say to the waiter, hey, I need another glass of water. There's something wrong with this one, right? And you would, you know, be happy when he brings the new glass. So he would trade you. The glass of water is kind of the way we are. You know, we were filled with all this sediment and all these things, and we're no longer as pure as we should be. And what God's plan is to bring us and change us, to renew us and transform us so that we can now be like that new glass of water, pure, crystal clear, delicious, sweet, good, refreshing. And so God didn't try to filter it out. He wanted to renew us. And that's a great part of what he was doing. Now, and this is taking place through the whole process of God's plan. That's what Easter is about. Easter is about us being transformed and changed totally and completely Because, as I was saying, when Jesus is on that cross and he takes all of that stuff from us upon himself, we get to trade with him and we receive his righteousness. In other words, we give him the glass of water that's got the sediment in it. It's a little bit yellow, smells kind of funny. We give that to him, and he in return gives us that clean, pure glass of water. In other words, our spirit is changed, and we are renewed. We are made anew again. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, we're made anew because we need to be in that state in order for God to be able to reconcile with us. He makes us, and it appears to him now we're in that same state of righteousness. We're in right standing with God. And in right standing with God, now we can be joined to him. We are now protected. We're not going to get incinerated or burned by God. God can now dwell with us and be one with us. And that was represented also in that Day of Atonement. Because what would happen is on that day, the high priest was allowed to go behind the veil into the Holy of Holies. On that one day only was the day he was allowed to go. But it was foretelling of being able to now be in the presence of God. The same thing happened when Jesus was on the cross. The veil ripped in two when he let his spirit go. The veil ripped in two, meaning that now you're able to come into the presence of God again, renewed back to the original state that we're always supposed to be walking with God. He now had purified us. For any that believe in the Lord and everything that God's plan was, we now receive that change of spirit. The old spirit is taken out and he gives us a new spirit. He gives us that pure spirit. The spirit of God is what it is. The spirit of God. And it is a spirit of love, because God is love. There's nothing else that God is but love. And that's his character. And he just keeps on loving. And he just keeps on shining. And he just keeps on flowing into our lives. But now that same spirit, the spirit of love, can now be in us. It's in some of you. You can feel it. Sometimes we start to see only physical things, and you might stop feeling it because you get so focused on that. But then we have to change and go back to remembering that we have a spirit, the Spirit of God. And when we stir that up, when we stir up the Spirit of God, now we begin to feel his love. We begin to feel his power. And we begin to feel things change in our life. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, "Those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." So the whole plan is for us to be rejoined with God so that we can now reign in our life. Reign in your life. Reign over the problems of your life. Reign over sickness. Reign over poverty. Reign over sadness and depression. It doesn't matter what it is that's trying to hold you down. When you step into the power of God, he gives you grace and he gives you the abundance, and you now have the power to reign over your life and all the problems of your life. And this is what God wanted from us, for us, from the very beginning. He wanted us to have that power to overcome the troubles of your life. You shouldn't be plagued by worry and depression and fear. You shouldn't be plagued by lack, because God has given us abundance. And he has given us in the full measure. And all we have to do is believe in him and begin to walk in that and receive it. Say amen to that.
Amen.
When we have that abundance, that righteousness, which is what happens when we go through that trading places. See, the whole thing about Easter is it's not about death. It's about life. It's about our life. Because Jesus went from life to death and back to life again. And he did that so that we could live. He opened a doorway that had been closed. And that was the doorway to God, so that we could now hear from God and speak to God. There were long periods of time, hundreds of years, where nobody heard from God. The prophets did not hear from God. It was closed up. But since Jesus came, the door has been opened. He is the door. Jesus said, I am the door. What door is he? He's the door to God. The way has been opened now for us to communicate with God and hear from God. And like I was telling you at the beginning, when we start to hear from the Spirit of God, now he begins to lead us in our life, that we can reign over all those problems and we can have that victory in our life. We can have that wonderful victory in our life in all ways. And that's the power that we have. So this day is about life. We need to be celebrating that we have the opportunity. And I say opportunity because we have to receive it. Not everybody receives the opportunity. But we have the opportunity that we can be in charge of our life by the power of God. We don't do it on our own. We do it by the power of God. And what happens, Jesus told his disciples after he resurrected and he appeared to them now. So this was after he had died and then he resurrected out of the tomb. He appears to his disciples, and this is in Luke 24. And he gives them instructions. He tells them that he wants them to go out and share the gospel, and he wants them to tell people about repentance and remission of sins. This was instructions that he gave, and then he blessed them, and as he was blessing them, he was carried up into heaven at that moment. Now, why did he say to go out and talk about repentance and remissions of sins? Now, I've already talked about remissions of sins a little bit. It's that dirty glass of water. And in order, he was talking about that happening, taking place. In other words, the dirty glass of water being exchanged for the clean glass so that we could come into the presence of God and we could now have the relationship with God and we could now reign in life. Okay, are you with me? Now, he was also talking about repentance. Now, what is repentance? You hear a lot about repentance. People always get really fired up about repentance, but it's, you know what, I think they make a lot out of it without really explaining what the true meaning is. Repentance means changing your mind. He wants you to change your mind is what he's saying. And he wanted us to change our mind from focusing on physical things. Quite often, if we only are focused on physical things, we look at all of our problems in life as that that's where they're happening in this physical life. And we try to solve them from those physical ideas. So we might ask our mother or our parents, you know, how to solve these problems. We might ask a friend down the street. Maybe we go to school and take some classes that we think that's going to help us solve these problems. But still, we're looking at them all from a physical standpoint. What Jesus is saying when he talks about repentance, he's saying change your mind, change your point of view. If we're only looking at the physical, we're looking downward. And he is saying, I want you to do a 180-degree turn. Repentance can be like a U-turn. You can picture a U-turn sign. That's what repentance is. And we change our mind from focusing on the physical, and now he has us stop looking down, and he has us start looking up. Because if we start to understand that the solutions to all of our problems are not in the physical, but they're in the spiritual, they're with God. And if we can start to hear God, he starts to give us the guidance that we need to solve the problems of our life, and that's now why we reign in life. So he talked about repentance because he wanted us to have a change of our point of view, a change of our mind, and it had to be a 180-degree turn, meaning going from just looking at the physical to now looking at the spiritual. And as we look at the spiritual, as we look towards God, he now begins to change how we solve our problems, and he begins to change how we see our life and how we see the world. And this is a good thing. So Jesus was talking about repentance in order for us to change the way we're thinking so that we can now look towards God instead of looking towards ourselves, instead of looking towards, you know, other people in our life. And this is the same thing that was happening. Remember, Moses brings the law of Moses down. Well, God gives Moses the law, and Moses comes down with this law from the mountain, right? And he gives it to the people. And we have to remember, why did Moses bring this law down to the people? And one of the things that a lot of people don't realize when they're reading the story about it is the people asked for it. They asked for this law because they told God, they said to God, tell us what you want us to do. Whatever it is, we can do it. And there was kind of a, you know, a little bit of an arrogant tone. And God always refers to the people, it was the people of Israel that he was delivering the law to. And he was saying that they're a stiff-necked people. They're a little stubborn. And so he delivered to them this law because they said, we can do this. Whatever it is you want us to do, tell us what we can do. Now, there were 10 commandments, and there were something like over 600 something or other laws by the end of it. And I'm sure when they looked at all that, they thought, oh boy, or oy vey, you know. But I'm sure they looked at it and they said, oh my goodness, are we going to be able to do all this? Well, it turns out, and God knew this already, there's never been a single person who's been able to fulfill all the laws perfectly. Nobody. And unfortunately, it's a pass or fail test. That means you either get them all right or you get them all wrong. And God says if we get them all wrong, we die. I don't like that. Fortunately, though, God's will for us was not to die. The reason he gave us the laws was to get to the point, because the people had said, we can do this. We can do whatever you want us to do, we can do it. And so he gives them this law. It was to bring them to the point where they realize, they come to the point where they realize, you know what? I can't do this. I can't fulfill this law. I can't do this on my own. And at that point, what do? When you realize you can't do it, you turn to God. See, it changes your perspective immediately. You stop looking down at what you can do, thinking, I'm going to fix all this. I'm going to be able to follow all these rules and do all this stuff. You come to the point where you realize, I can't do it. I can't fix it. I don't have the ability. And now your perspective changes and you begin to look up to God and you say, God, I've realized something. I can't do this on my own, God. I can't do this without you. And now God's got us right where he wanted us. He's got us looking at him, and he's got us desiring to have a relationship with him. And so he comes down in a body that we call Jesus, and he walks on the earth because he knows he doesn't want us to die. And he fulfills all the laws because he knows only God could fulfill all these laws. Only God could get them all right. And once he has gotten them all right, we call him righteous because he got them all right. Now he's able to overcome all the difficulties and the problems of the world because he has the answers, because he has fulfilled and completed everything that was set forth. And then he makes it a gift to us where we get to trade with him. We get to give him the imperfection that we couldn't fulfill that stuff on our own. And he now has the cheat sheet, if you will, the clean glass of water that he gives us, the new spirit, the spirit of God, which is the spirit of love. And now we're walking with him. Now we're walking with him in life. Easter is about our new life. Easter is about us reigning in life. Easter is about God and us walking as one, and we now have supernatural power on the inside of us. Remember that last song that Seth had played up there? Same power. The same power. What was the power that was in Jesus? It was the Spirit of God. It was the Spirit of God that was in him. But yet, when we believe, we receive the same Spirit. He takes out the old Spirit, the one that's kind of yellow with a little bit of sediment. He takes that out. And he gives us the new spirit that's pure. And now we have the Spirit of God inside of us. And what he's saying is we can do the same things. So everything that Jesus did, well, he walked on the earth, you can do too. Amen. And this is the understanding that we need to begin to have, is that you've got the power to heal sickness. See, people, a few weeks ago, I was having a conversation with a client of mine. And she was telling about her friend that had brain cancer, and she was asking me, Ted, do you think that's God's will? And I said, no, it's not God's will. And she goes, well, why does all this stuff happen? And what I told her is, I'm going to tell you, is that when we see wars and we see sickness, and we see all that destruction upon the earth, it's not God's will. It means that the presence of God is not there in that place. But you see, it's our job to bring the presence of God because we have the Spirit of God on the inside. It's our job to open our hearts and let that Spirit, let that perfect love of His begin to flow out of us and change the world. if we see a problem in our life or something that's not working, or if we see a problem in the world, it's a lack of the presence of God. And the presence of God upon this earth is you. You are the presence of God because the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. God lives in a spiritual realm outside of the physical. He created the physical outside of himself. But then he put his Spirit inside of you so that the chaos would be abated and stopped, that the sickness and all those who are sick would be healed and changed and transformed, that there would no longer be a lack, but there would be abundance, because the Spirit of God always multiplies and increases, multiplies and increases wherever it goes, and that all your dreams that God has put into your heart can be fulfilled because he has given you the power and the authority over everything, over sickness, over falsity, over darkness. It was given to you when you made that trade with God. And he took away all that stuff that didn't work, and he gave you everything that did work. But now, if we want to see this planet changed, if we want to see our neighborhood changed, the responsibility falls to us. Those who have the Spirit of God on the inside need to begin to open their hearts and let the light shine out. And when that power of God begins to move across the earth, people are healed. Say amen to that. People are healed. People's lives are changed. And then you start to get a glimpse of what it means to reign in life. God wants you to reign in your life. Many of you have already received the promise. You've already received the Spirit of God on the inside. But see, the reason I come to Golden Heart every Sunday is to stir up that Spirit. Because it's easy for me to go from looking at God and remembering that God has given me the power and it's working in me to looking at only the physical problems. You know, you can make a mountain out of a molehill, right? We have that expression. And it just means we get so focused on the little details and the things that are going wrong that they become the main focus of our life and we can't see beyond that. But yet when you come and start to stir up the Spirit of God on the inside, let it begin to sing, let it begin to talk, and your heart begins to open and the love begins to flow out. Now you don't see that little molehill anymore. You begin to see the supernatural power of God working through you in your life to change everything, to change everything that you have and make it anew. That's what this day is all about. It's about a life that you reign in. Each and every single one of you here can reign in your life. You have a supernatural power on the inside that is the greatest force in the entire universe. There is nothing stronger than that force. It is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love. And it's inside of you right now. And if you choose, because you have free choice, God has given us free choice, but if you choose, you can open your heart and begin to let that power flow out of you. And it will change the way you see your life. It'll change the world. And it'll change everyone around you. And that is the power that you have on the inside. Say amen to that.
Amen.